I was the chief mangler on that one. But before Noam actually has a gig, he's going to have to run off in a couple of minutes. Is there anything you want to say about that song, or Bill wants to say about that song, where that title came from? Beating Around the Bush?
Beating Around the Bush, the title just came. It's an expression, and it just seemed appropriate at the time. And I haven't written a lot of pieces of music, but that's one of my favorites. And you know, in some ways, I think the level of difficulty adds to my enjoyment of a piece.
Watching you squirm.
And I think it met its match with you guys.
Not only the men who have been influenced by Bill Keith, I am just one of the many female banjo players who owes a great deal to the musical prowess of this master of the five string. Bill Keith was my door into Scruggs style banjo playing. As a newbie, I didn't yet know about Bill, but I had the Earl Scruggs banjo book. Knowing just enough about reading music to hurt my playing, I found I could only make sense of the tabs by slowing down vinyl LPs of Earl's playing. I would figure out as much as I could and then turn to Bill's immaculate tabs to see if I got it right. I trusted Bill's tabs with my entire banjo being. Later on, I came to greatly admire Bill's own playing. Much later, I got to meet Bill himself and hear all about the circle of fifths. Has anyone mentioned that yet? I always felt honored to be in his mighty presence, and I am with you all in spirit today.
I'd like to introduce this next gentleman, because he was actually my second banjo teacher. I took lessons in New York City from Eric Darling, who's a banjo player. He replaced Pete Seeger in the Weavers. And at a certain point, he said, "You need to go learn the Keith style. I have nothing else to teach you." And I was like, "What's that? It sounds like sprockets. I don't understand. It's the Keith style. I didn't know it was a person. It sounded, I didn't know what it was." But anyways, he said, "You need to go see if Mark Horowitz will teach you." And Mark Horowitz knows everything about everything. And so I got in touch with Mark, and he agreed to a visitation, and I came out to Staten Island, where he was. No, it was Brooklyn at the time. And a long train ride out there. And he proceeded to dazzle me with every kind of banjo style that existed, and he could demonstrate Tony's playing. He could do had an encyclopedic understanding of all the banjo players, from Don Reno, Alan Mundy, everything basically. If I wanted to know it, he knew it, and I was really fortunate to have him as a teacher. And one of the things he had was a lot of great tapes, and he was always telling me about Bill and having me listen, the privilege of hearing these secret tapes of Bill Keith that maybe he doesn't even know or remember about. Playing some of these amazing things that either weren't on records or weren't on records that way, or was just a great way to hear. So anyway, I'm just going to hand it over to you and let you say what you want and play you want.
Referencing the tapes Bill just spoke of.
Mark Horowitz.
I'm putting my hat on so my head doesn't blind you.
Bill was 16, 17?
Yeah, Bill was 15, I think, when he started coming to me. I got a call from Eric Darling. He said, "I have this kid I can't teach anymore, and I have nothing to teach him, and I want to send him to you." I said, "What's his name?" He said, "Bela Fleck." I said, "Really? What's his name?" He said, "No, really, Bela Fleck." So this fresh-faced young 15-year-old came out to my house, and after the first lesson, after Bela left, my wife said, "How was it? How was he?" And I said, "This kid's very quick." And after a time, a year and a half or so, it got to the point where Bella had been asking me to show him so much of Tony's stuff that I was like working it out from Tony's records and then teaching it to Bela a few days later. So finally I said, here's Tony's phone number, why don't you? I think it's time you went on to see Tony.
But before that happened, you taught me so much stuff about the whole banjo world and very importantly, Bill's stuff.
Well, Bill and I go back to probably 1964 or so, and in 1965, he played Gertie's Folk City on West 4th Street in New York, now long gone, with Jim Rooney, his longtime playing partner. And David Grisby happened to be in town at that time and was with them for the whole week as well. And I called Bill and asked him if I could bring a tape recorder down to Gertie's and record some of the shows. So he and Jim agreed. I loved my brother's Robert's reel-to-reel tape recorder in on the subway with my banjo and a microphone. And Rooney, if you recall, duct taped my microphone to the stand for the house microphone, and that was my recording setup. At any rate, I was fortunate enough to set up the machine in the basement where the guys had their dressing room, along with the gigantic cockroaches, which I'm sure you remember. And Bill was gracious enough to play a bunch of stuff into this tape recorder, and I've treasured that tape down through the decades as one of the most amazing resources that I've ever had access to learn Bill's style. And one of the tunes he played in that cellar on that hot summer night with cockroaches the size of dinner plates scurrying over our feet was a Ricketts hornpipe. And I'm going to essay to play this with my 68-year-old fingers. Incidentally, in 1966, I entered the only banjo contest I ever entered, which was the Philadelphia Folk Festival. Bill was one of the judges, happily.
And you were alone.
And I won it by playing first this tune and then another of Phil's tune that was on that tape. So thank you, Bill. A funny sidelight, Marty Cutler, who many of you know is a great banjo player as well, also entered the contest that year along with me. And when I had my turn and I came off the stage, Marty came over to me and ruefully smiled and said, "You got it. You got it." And I said, "What? I don't know." He said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Well, when you were playing, Bill and Richard Green was sitting there going like this." I never forgot that. Anyway, I'm probably going to mess this up, but I'm going to give it my best shot. Rick and Swartman.